Reading now from Luke chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I want us to think about two expressions that the angel said to those shepherds. First of all, the angel said, "Fear not, fear not." That's a command, it's a declaration that God has made throughout His Word to His people. Don't be afraid. And yet we find that sometimes we are afraid. There are times that we find out that there are problems that are coming, or we think problems are coming. There are times that we have sickness. There are times that loved ones we care for very dearly, that they have troubles and problems, and sometimes we are afraid. And yet the angel would say to us, even as Christ has told us, that we are not to be afraid. And the reason that we are not to be afraid is expressed in verse 11. Verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The reason that I ought not to be afraid, the reason that I never have to be afraid of men or problems or troubles in life, the reason that I have no fear of eternal hell, is because I have a Savior. There is a Savior that is not a wannabe Savior. He's not a try-to-be Savior. He's not a weak person or a weak God that wants to save if people will let Him. It is not a Savior that the devil can take people away from, but rather it is the Savior who is all-powerful and all-wise. And so it is that the angel spoke to Joseph about this Savior, and the angel told Joseph about this Savior, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall," what?
Save.
"He shall save His people from their sins." And brethren, when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He had accomplished what He came to do. When He cried out on the cross, "It is finished," He had saved His people from their sins. He had shed His blood for my sins and your sins. And because Jesus has saved us from our sins, therefore we will be in the eternal heaven one day, and we will not be in eternal hell. And the devil and all of his angels cannot separate us from the love of God, because we have an all-powerful Savior. Jesus did not die in vain. Not one drop of Jesus' blood was wasted. Every drop of the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the salvation of those who were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. It's not a few people. It's not a small number of people. The Bible says it is a people so great that no man can number out of every nation and kindred and tongue and family and tribe. He is the great Savior. Amen. He is our Savior, and because He has saved us, we ought not to be afraid. There are people who are afraid they're going to die and go to hell. And the reason that they are afraid is because they do not understand what Jesus accomplished when He died on the cross of Calvary. I believe with all of my heart the people that are afraid that they're going to die and go to hell are people that, though they are sinners and they know they are sinners, they feel like Jesus did not die for them, or else they feel that they're going to do something or they have done something so bad that Jesus could not save them. I want you to know, brethren, that there is no sin that the blood of Jesus Christ has not cleansed. Jesus saved His people from their sins, and those sins include the sins of adultery and drunkenness and murder and every sin that you can imagine. The blood of Jesus Christ has paid for the sins of all the people of God in every age and dispensation. It's a powerful thing that happened when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. It's an amazing thing that we have a Savior who loves us so much, that we have a Father who loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And it's an amazing thing that we have a Savior who loves us so much that He died to save us from our sins. The Word of God tells us that Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul said, "This is a faithful saying, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world. He came for this purpose primarily. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And then Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." The Apostle Paul knew that he was a sinner. The Apostle Paul had a reason to be afraid because he had been killing Christians. He was a murderer. He had been putting people to death. And if anyone deserved to go to hell, I'm going to be facetious right now and say it was Paul, but brethren, if anybody deserves to be in eternal hell, it's me and it's you. And it's only when we begin to realize how sinful we are that we realize how wonderful our Savior is. It's only after we are fearful because of our sins that we realize how wonderful it is to have been saved from our sins. The Apostle Paul knew how wonderful it was to have been saved from his sins. Though he felt that he was the chief of sinners and the least of the apostles, he knew that the blood of Jesus Christ had saved him from his sins. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Timothy. Turn there. We just quoted from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, where Paul said, "This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And now in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 beginning in verse 7, I want you to listen to verses 7, 8, and 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. The Word of God says, now let me ask you again, what was the first thing that the angel said to those shepherds back there in Luke chapter 2? What was the first thing the angel said?
Fear not.
Fear not. And what was the reason he said they had no reason to fear? Because you have a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's the reason that you and I ought not to ever be afraid. Not afraid of eternal hell. That's true. But we ought not to be afraid of anything that ever happens in our lives here in this world. You see, Jesus did not just save us from our sins. But Jesus is the one who is saving us from every problem and every trial and every tribulation and every difficulty and every sickness and everything we have to face in this life. Jesus is still saving us. He saved us, but He is still helping us. See, the word save simply means to deliver. I was saved from my sins 2,000 years ago. But I need to be saved from a lot of different things in this life. Quite frankly, while we were singing, I was afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid because, and though I was enjoying the singing and felt the presence of God, all of a sudden I didn't feel the presence of God. And brethren, I can't stand up and try to preach the Word of God unless I can feel God with me. We studied last week about His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And unless we can feel the presence of God, do you know what we will always feel? If we don't feel God with us, you know what we will feel when we realize that God is not manifesting His presence to us? We will be afraid. And it doesn't take much to make us afraid when we don't feel the presence of God. Fear not, the angel said to those shepherds. You have a Savior. Second Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, the Word of God says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. When you're afraid, now we're taught, listen, let me pause here. We are taught that we are to fear God. Fear God and keep His commandments. We are taught that the whole duty of man is to fear God. But when it comes to fearing men, or fearing financial difficulties, or fearing sickness, or fearing death, or fearing the grave, or fearing anything else, we ought not to be afraid. Because we have a Savior. Jesus is with us. You can face any enemies when you can feel that Jesus is with you. So he says in verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Brethren, we're tossed to and fro. We're afraid. We're going to be running. We're not going to be serving God unless we realize we have a Savior who is all powerful and all wise. So God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. He says in verse 8, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath, what has he done in verse 9? Who hath what? Who hath saved us. Is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? That statement right there, is it past tense, present tense, or future tense? That is past tense. Who hath saved us, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God has already saved us. I want you to remember that God has saved us from our sins. I want you to rejoice. Every time the devil tells you that you're a sinner and you don't deserve eternal heaven, you say, Amen. You are right. I do not deserve to go to heaven except for the fact I have a Savior. My Savior is not me. My Savior is not some weak preacher. My Savior is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My Savior is Jesus Christ. And He has saved me from my sins. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 now. Not only has He saved us from our sins, but we have to face enemies. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to have trouble and you're going to have enemies. And as you have enemies, you're going to sometimes begin to be afraid unless you remember, I have a Savior. I have a Savior who has saved me, but I have a Savior that is alive. He's with me today. Did you know Jesus is in this building this morning? Jesus is right here. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus is here today. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Was Paul hurt by Alexander the coppersmith? Absolutely. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. What's he saying? Verse 15, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. For at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Isn't that amazing? The Apostle Paul said, as I began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I had nothing but enemies. No man believed me. Everybody hated me. And then he says in verse 17, after he says, no man stood with me, he says in verse 17, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Now, folks, Jesus had been dead for quite a few years when Paul says right here, Paul says, the Lord stood with me. What was the Lord doing when He stood with Paul? He was saving him. What was He saving him from? He was saving him from fear. What else was He saving him from? He was saving him from being beaten at this point, though he later was going to be beaten. He saved him from death. Those are some of the things that God, as He stood, Jesus stood with Paul, He was saving Paul. Notwithstanding the Lord with me, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord, what's the next two words? And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I want you to remember this. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He's saying Jesus saved me. And then he's saying now, as I'm walking and living and preaching, Jesus is saving me. Everywhere I go, it is Jesus that is my Savior every day. And then the last statement he makes here is, and the Lord shall deliver me. He has delivered, He does deliver, and He shall yet deliver me. Back up in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Please back up in your Bibles. Just a moment to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Brethren, I want us to know and be assured. I want us to think about. I want us to rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior, not just who saved us 2,000 years ago, but that we have a Savior who is saving, helping. The word save means to deliver. Is there anybody here that was delivered from anything this morning? Is there anybody here that was delivered from anything this morning? Is there anybody here that was delivered from anything last night? Is there anybody here that was delivered or saved this past week? Everybody here was saved this morning. The only reason you woke up this morning is because Jesus saved you. The death angel did not come to your house last night. The death angel could have come. We could be right now weeping sorely because the death angel could have come to one of your homes. One of your children could have been dead when you woke up this morning. But God spared you, and God spared your family through another night. He saved me last night. He saved me this morning. He saved me, and He saved you, and He saved your family. And you need to praise God because you have a Savior. Not just one who saved you 2,000 years ago, but you have a Savior who is saving you right now and delivering you right now. The songwriter says this farther along. He says, tempted and tried, I need a great Savior. Do you need a great Savior? Brethren, I need a great Savior. I have a great Savior. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior. When I am tempted, will I yield to temptations if I don't look to my Savior to deliver me? When I am tried, when I have trials and afflictions and tribulations, will I fold if I don't look to my Savior? Yes, I will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Word of God says that God, that pronoun who is referring to God in the previous verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Word of God says that God delivered us. Is that past tense or present tense or future tense? That's past tense. That God delivered us from so great a death. Did God deliver you from so great a death? By dying on the cross of Calvary, did He deliver you from so great a death? Eternal separation from God, God delivered you. God not only delivered you by dying on the cross of Calvary, but God has delivered you from so great a death that while you were dead in trespasses and sins, Christ came to you and quickened you and lifted you up and made you alive. And you are alive spiritually today because you have a great Savior. The only one. You know who helped me be born again? You know what I did to be born again? I had no more to do with my new birth than I did my first natural birth. I didn't do anything to be born the first time. And I didn't do anything to be born again. I was born the first time because God's Word says that God brought me forth from my mother's womb. And I was born again because God came to me and quickened me. And though I was dead, not sick now, this idea that God is holding His hand out and He wants you to be born again, if you'll just take His hand. Listen, brethren, I wasn't sick. I was dead in trespasses and sins. And it took the power of a great Savior to come and quicken me and make me alive. And so God hath delivered us from so great a death. And He doth deliver every day He is delivering. He doth deliver in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Do you need saving? Anybody need saving? You might not realize you do, but you need saving right now. You need saving. You remember when the apostles were in a ship, the disciples were in, they were followers of Jesus, and they got in the ship with Jesus. Jesus got in the ship, He went to sleep. And there arose a great storm one day, and they woke up, or rather the disciples saw the waves boisterous, and they cried and they said, Lord, carest Thou not that we perish? Were they afraid?
Never.
They were afraid. You know why they were afraid? Was the Savior with them? But they were still afraid. You know why? They didn't believe their Savior would take care of them. But when Jesus said, and listen, brethren, this is the same Jesus who spoke the world into existence 6,000 years ago. All he had to do was say, "Let there be light," and there was light. He created everything in the beginning of this world by speaking it into existence. And now all he had to do with those waves and that ship being tossed and them about to die, all Jesus had to say, all he said, rather, was, "Peace, be still." Have you ever had storms in your life and Jesus came along and settled those storms? He just speaks the words. He just said, "Peace, be still." That's in Matthew chapter 8, I believe. Then in Matthew chapter 14, Peter sees Jesus out on the water. And everybody's afraid. They're all afraid. They're all shaking, scared. They say it's a spirit. Their imaginations were going wild with them. You know what causes most fear in our lives? Our imagination. We're afraid of what might happen. We're thinking things that the devil has put in our minds. And all you have to do to save the devil is, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I have a great Savior. I have no reason to fear. My Savior told me, don't be afraid. I'm going to believe my Savior." And so that day that Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on the water, he had a lot of faith to begin with, but then the waves began to be boisterous and he began to sink. And he cried out and said, "Lord, save me!" Did he need saving right then? Did he need saving? Yes, he did need saving. He was sinking. He was drowning. He was about to die. And Jesus rebuked Peter. He rebuked his disciples earlier in Matthew chapter 8. He rebuked them because they were afraid. And he says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Every time I'm afraid, the psalmist says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord." Let me give you one scripture in closing. In Romans chapter 10, the Word of God says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God help us to call on Jesus' name. What is the name of the Lord? What is the name of the Lord? His name is Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord. What time I am afraid, I'll call on the name Jesus. May God help us. It's my prayer for Christ's sake that we might not be afraid and that we might rejoice that we have a great Savior is my prayer. Amen.